The following is a paid program brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. The views and opinions expressed are those of the sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station and its management.
Good morning. Court Radio is now in session. Call 215-227-2727. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome. It's Court Radio and I'm Dean Weitzman. It is February the 8th. I think I got that right. And it's 7 a.m. Wake up and enjoy some Court Radio. You got legal questions? We've got the answers. Give us a call at 215-227-2727. That's right. The one number you need for all of your legal issues, and especially this morning for Court Radio, 215-227-2727. I'm joined in the studio with a guest host, old David sleeping probably. I'm joined with Irina Shiloh, a My Philly Lawyer, Philly Lawyer. Hey.
Good morning.
Hello, Irina. Welcome back. You've been here before, and usually... Folks, you know, when Irina's here, we're talking about domestic relations. We're talking about child custody, support, divorce, all those issues that are usually ugly issues for some folks and happy ones for others, I guess. You know, today we're on the eve of Valentine's Day. Love is in the air, but we're talking about breaking up and anticipating breaking up by having a bona fide lock it in prenup. How often does that happen? I mean, do a lot of, you know, what is it, like 50% of people get divorced?
Yes, that's the statistics.
50%. In the United States. Half the people who are professing love, you know, birds are singing, they're planning their whole lives together. They end up at some point hating one another and thinking, why did I ever do this in the first place?
Yes, very much so. But they always think it won't happen to me. So I've never had anyone call me about a divorce that had a prenup.
Ah, so very rare for people... I imagine it's even rarer when you don't have, when you're young, you don't have a lot of assets, you're not really thinking about, you know, the future. I wonder, is it something advisable for first time marrieds who don't have a lot of assets? Are those the type of folks who should be getting a prenup?
Well, probably everybody should be getting a prenup. It's a way to protect oneself, and sometimes it's a way to protect your partner, especially if you have children from another relationship from the past. It's a way to protect your current partner from getting sued for everything or anything. For example, you can put in the prenup that in case you die, so much money you're leaving to your new spouse, so they're protected. In case you change your will, in case somebody sues them for whatever you leave in your will. So that's one thing that it's advisable to do, because it's just about protecting your spouse. But it's also, of course, everybody's thinking about protecting themselves, especially when they're children from another relationship, from a previous one. You want to protect those children from the new spouse. Obviously, your new spouse will not be happy about that. And also, if you have any assets from the past, that's a good way to protect them. Because what happens a lot is that people get married and somebody has already, for example, a house. So that house is theirs. It's a separate asset. But once the asset increases in value, and which happens a lot with real estate, upon divorce, they have to share the difference of the increase. They have to share a part of that. And that's a good way to get in trouble, because you can end up being in court. You can end up paying someone, owing someone cash on a house that you never wanted to sell in the first place.
Prenuptial agreements are agreements that, by their nature, anticipate the end of a relationship. I wonder, and you know, I have never having had to do one myself, and not having a lot of experience on the personal side, I wonder how that is perceived by the new spouse. I mean, I guess it's easy when both want it. You know, you say, hey, we want to get married, but we don't think it's going to end, but let's plan for the possibility that it's going to end, and we'll both go get prenups. And I suppose that happens primarily when you have folks who have similar assets coming into a relationship that they want to protect their own assets. On the other hand, when you have one spouse who's got substantially more than another, or one intended spouse who has substantially more than the other, I wonder how the spouse who has nothing or very little feels about that contract and about that request at that moment when they say, honey, I love you. I do. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. But you just need to sign this document. I mean, does that go over well? I'd love if we have callers who have been through this. I'd love to hear what your experience is when the request was made. How was it phrased? How did it come to pass? And did it really piss you off, or was it something that you really didn't mind doing? And you thought, hey, this makes sense, you know. The person I'm trying to, or I'm planning to marry, is somebody who has assets. He has children. As you said, there's complicating factors.
Yeah, as you said, it depends on does it make sense or not. If it's a fair agreement, then I suppose the spouse that has less will be happy about the agreement. Of course, if you have a lot and you tell your spouse, in case we get a divorce, you get absolutely nothing, they will probably get offended. What I think should the approach should be is to actually offer some amount. If you're going to sign a prenup, then I think it's not fair to say, I have a lot of money, I have a lot of assets, I have real estate, I have this and that, but you get absolutely nothing if we get a divorce. In that case, just don't get married. But if you
okay, so from a woman's perspective, you're saying you have to make some account, you know, some accommodations for your intended spouse, and so they should get a little something if the thing goes bad.
Yes, a little something. It doesn't have to be half of everything you've made before you met them, especially people who are not 25, who have a lot of assets. They certainly shouldn't share half of everything they've made with someone who might leave them 2 or 3 years later. But what I think is a good approach is to tell them, you know, we'll never divorce. It's this is just a piece of paper if we stay married. But if we do divorce, instead of going to court and pulling all of our dirty laundry somewhere in front of strangers, let's just have a divorce settlement agreement now. This is what we're deciding. If we ever decide to part ways, this is how we're going to split our assets. We're going to share our house in half, or we're going to share this, we're going to share that. Everybody keeps their own savings or their own separate assets. I'm not going to take yours. You're not going to take mine. Whatever they want to agree on. I think that's a better way than to say, I have more than you, and if we get a divorce, I don't want to give you anything.
Can a prenuptial agreement handle anticipated assets that haven't been received yet?
Yes.
Really? So I could start out as a young attorney who has nothing, but I plan to acquire assets, and I can prevent my intended from getting her hands on something that I haven't even earned yet.
Yes, you can.
Wow. All right, let's talk to, we got Karen on the line, line 4 from Northeast Philly, who's got a question about prenups. Hey, Karen, welcome to Core Radio.
Hi, good morning, Dean, and good morning. Your guest in there, I forgot her name. Good morning.
Irina. It's Irina, oh. Karen.
Good morning, Irina. My question is, if I was to get married, I'm 44, so, you know, well over 25, but I do have, like, assets as far as I have property, rental property and things like that. If I was to get a prenuptial. No, if I wasn't to get one and we get married and we get divorced, is he entitled to the property that I already had before the marriage?
Some of it, if the property goes up in value. So if you have a house that costs now $100,000, and when you decide to get a divorce, the house costs $200,000, then that increase of $100,000 would be subject to equitable distribution, which means he could get a piece of that. How much? In some states where there's a community property law, they share 50-50, not in Pennsylvania. So in theory, he could take all of it or none of it or some of it. So, yes, you absolutely want to have a prenup if you have a real estate.
Okay, that was my question, yeah, because that was one of my concerns. Okay.
Wait, Karen. So do you have a boyfriend?
Yeah, I do.
and let me ask you, I mean, I'm not saying you've done this, but in anticipation, in your own little mind, would he be angry if you said, honey, I love you, but Irina prepared this document, and I just want you to sign this? How do you think his reaction's going to be?
I think it would be, he would feel like you don't trust me. I mean, it would cause a problem. I really do feel that way. That's why I'm calling. But I really don't care about how he feels right now. I have to protect my assets, so I probably will be doing what Irina says. But I definitely believe it's going to be a problem when I say this.
Well, yeah,
I do.
I wonder if there's a way to phrase that so it's not a problem. I guess if somebody's not intending to want to take your property, if they don't really care about your property, if that's not the focus, like why would they care if they signed that?
Why would they get upset?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I feel, you know why also too? I'm coming in with more than what he has.
Yeah.
So. Could be there as well. Like, well, y'all, I'm already established. So,
right, you're a sugar mama. A sugar mama.
Pretty much, I am older. Pretty much. So, I mean, that's going to be the issue, but I will tackle it. I'm just going to try to, you know, choose my words wisely when I say this.
Do you have any children?
Yeah, my kids are grown, though. I have three girls. They're grown.
Okay.
The last one's still home with me, but the other two are on their own.
Well, it doesn't matter. They're your children, and they are the ones that maybe you want to leave your property to. You have extra reasons.
Oh, I think Irina's giving you an angle. That's what this is. She's giving you the setup. Like, hey, I love you, but you know, I need the money to go toward my children at this point in my life. You know, I wonder if it's a good idea to like talk to a psychologist or something to figure out the best way to put this on the table, so that you don't.
You know what, Dean? I think either way, it doesn't matter which way it comes out. I think he's going to have a problem with it, but that may change if I want to marry this person or not, you know, so we'll see.
All right, well, keep us posted, and don't forget to check out Irina at My Philly Lawyer if you need a prenup, Karen.
Okay, hey, Dean, do you have any T-shirts?
I do have a T-shirt, and you've been a great sport, so I'm going to pass that back to Monica, and Monica will grab your address and your size.
Okay.
All right, hold on the line, Karen.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, Irina, I think that Karen sounds like the typical person I would expect to get a prenup. You know, she's established, a little bit older, she's got assets, children.
And she's just trying to protect property that she had from before, and she still thinks that he will cause a problem, which is unusual, maybe.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, I think it's an interesting scenario. I wonder if anybody's been through it that didn't have a problem. You know, if you've gone through this process and you were okay with it, and it's just planning ahead for the possibility that things won't stay the way you believe that they are now. You know, it's pre-planning. It's like getting a funeral plot. You know,
exactly.
I mean, you know, you don't like to think about dying, right? I mean, but you know, a lot of people go out and they'll buy a plot and they'll, you know, make those arrangements while they're living.
Right, and when you write a will, you know that you will die someday, but you have to put in the will, even if my children are dead, who inherits? And it's probably very unpleasant to to think about an answer to your lawyer. Who gets my assets if my children are dead? You don't want to think about that, but you have to.
Right. Yeah. So this is one of those scenarios, a prenup, prenuptial agreement, where, you know, it's an unpleasant thing to think about, but you get it out of the way. It's like taking medicine. You take it, you get it out of the way, and you get better and you forget about it. You know, and then you go on to love your intended.
Right. And then you go on thinking, I will never need this. But if we get a divorce, then we already have an agreement. We don't have to drag ourselves through the courts.
Speaking of Karen being a woman of assets, you know, this is not uncommon with really high income earning people where you have a gold digger, you know, somebody who's really there only for the money. And really, a prenup can save somebody's life. We've seen it time and time again where somebody gets married and then they get killed.
True, which is why you should always make sure that your spouse gets more in case of divorce than in case of your death.
Wow, there you go. You're planning so that you make sure that there's a bonus for if you're alive. That's kind of a strange way to put it, but looking at the story, there was a 2013 story. A woman named Nanette Ann Packard of Southern California was convicted in 2012 of first-degree murder for arranging to have a former NFL player kill her millionaire boyfriend in 94 in order to collect a $1 million life insurance policy and other monies. So the husband was a rich mogul from California. His name was William McLaughlin. And he starts dating a younger woman. They get married, no prenuptial, and she has him whacked. If he had a prenuptial in this scenario, there's no benefit. There's no benefit to his having been killed. I mean, really, it's crazy thought, but it can save somebody's life.
But if he had a will leaving a lot to her, she would still have a motive. And also, there was a $1 million life insurance policy, so that's a separate motive.
Absolutely. And speaking of that, that was a question asked before we went on the air. If somebody is the beneficiary of a life insurance policy and they're convicted of murdering the decedent, do they get the benefit of the life insurance policy?
No, they get nothing.
They get nothing. And don't you think, I never understand the criminal mind, don't you think if you went out and bought a $2 million policy on somebody's life and then they end up dead a short while later that you're the number one suspect?
Yeah, and I watch those Investigation Discovery shows, and believe me, they actually called the insurance company to make sure that the policy is still valid, to check the address, and then a week later they killed their spouse.
Yeah, that's like a hot white light shining on you. 215-227-2727. The lines are lit. We're going to grab some calls. Let's talk to Robin from Germantown on line 3. Hi, Robin. Welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Good morning, Robin.
What's your question?
Hi, Irene. Hi, David. I'm interested in knowing if I renew my vows with my husband. Can I introduce a prenup? I am about to go to a publisher with my children's books, and I believe it's going to be a big boost to our financial picture. And if this doesn't work out,
the renewal of vows.
I want a prenup. What is it legal?
The renewal of vows has nothing to do with the nuptial agreement. Yes, you can have a nuptial agreement at any point, anytime. It only will be called postnuptial instead of prenuptial.
Okay.
Post, after the nuptials. How long have you been married?
42 years.
God bless you, Robin. And so after 42 years with the same man, loving, taking care of him, coddling him when he's sick, now, after 42 years, you're getting around to doing a post-nuptial. So you want to go to husband and say, honey, I love you. I want to renew our vows. Will you sign this? How does he respond?
I don't know. He's a delayed stress syndrome Vietnam veteran. I'm just going to be walking on eggshells and staying in prayer.
There you go. So this marriage, you guys live together still?
Yes.
Okay. And so what questions would you have, Irina, if she were coming to us, my Philly lawyer, to represent her for this postnuptial?
Well, the problem with postnuptials is that you can't force the person to sign it. Unlike prenups where you can say, well, if you don't sign it, then I'm not going to marry you, and that's perfectly legal. It's not blackmail. But with postnups, what are you going to do? You can say, I'm going to divorce you if you don't sign this.
I mean, you don't have the same hook you have with a prenup, which is all the more reason why it's important if you're going to do it before. But of course, 42 years ago, who would have thought, you know? But
right.
Now you're about to become, who wrote the Harry Potter books?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know her name either, but you know, she's somebody in England. I know that much. I forget her name, but so you're going to become like the Harry Potteress of Philly, and you're writing these children's books. You're going to be a gazillionaire, and you want to protect those assets.
Exactly.
What exactly do you want to protect?
Oh, I intend to
the future royalty rights to her books and stuff.
Yes.
So it's probably...
I have four children. Yes, for them and for my grandchildren, I want to be able to say this is how the pie should be sliced.
Well,
I guess that's what it will, huh?
The problem now is how much after 42 years of marriage, how much is really yours? It's quite different. Before we get married, what we have is ours. It's nobody else's. And if we choose not to get married, it stays ours. But after 42 years, everything that you've made is probably already joint property.
But this isn't these books aren't even published yet. So this
Correct.
Is a future asset, perhaps.
Exactly.
But you're right when you said maybe this is best served for a will after 42 years, because while you can't disinherit a spouse in Pennsylvania, he or she will get to take one third of your property, whether you've left them out of the will completely or not. If they're your legal spouse when you pass, then they get to inherit one third of your estate. And so,
okay.
But you might be happy with that, saying, okay, you can have one third of my estate and the rest of it goes to, and you name your children and grandchildren, and you have a complex trust and will document that provides for everybody, and you don't give all of it to your current spouse. You only give him a third. That's one option. Or that's another option, I should say. If you don't plan, were you planning on in the postnuptial of giving him nothing?
Oh, no, I wouldn't do that.
No, okay. So you were going to provide for this poor Vietnam vet who was married to you for 42 years. You're going to provide for him, but you're just not, you want to control that. You want to determine.
Exactly.
Okay, I get it. Yeah, I think perhaps appropriate will and trust documents will accomplish the same thing so long as you intended to give him approximately a third of your estate.
Well, the difference is only that whatever she makes, half of it will be his. So if she dies, she can't leave the whole, let's say, all the money from the sold books to her children, because half of it is still his. It's
why?
Joint property.
Oh, okay.
It's not
marital
joint. It's marital property, but not. It's not joint. It's not in joint names. Right? She's the owner of whatever the book is that she's published. Okay? It's marital property, but not joint as in a home in both names. So if she passes and has a will and leaves him out of it entirely, he gets a third by law, operational law. It's not in his name. This is an asset I'm presuming that this is an asset in her name only.
Well, what if she bought a house in her name? It would still be his too.
If she bought a house in her name, titled in her name, it's marital property. You're correct, and it would pass to him but she could leave it to him in a will or intestacy. He would get it all. But if she provides for it in a will that he only gets a third, I think he would only get a third, unless it's a property that's jointly owned property in both names. But I can buy an asset being married and it's entitled titled in my name only? Does my spouse have an interest in it? Absolutely. Is it a 50-50 interest? Not if I disinherit her down to one-third in a will. So I think I think a will document would work for you, and we'd be happy to talk to you during regular business hours. So give us a call during the week, 215-227-2727. I want to thank you for listening to Court Radio, and have a great Sunday.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye. Right,
bye-bye. I don't know. It seems like Irina and I have a difference of opinion here. We're going to have to take a quick break while we battle it out in the studio. We'll be right back, folks, in 2 minutes. Keep those calls coming.
It's a legal and financial squeeze. You're unable to work because of an accident, but your legal case is still not settled, so you can't pay the bills to take care of your family. But now, thanks to U.S. Claims, you can. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 1-877-US-CLAIMS. While you're waiting for your settlement, U.S. Claims can help you pay the bills. Get out of the squeeze. Call 1-877-US-CLAIMS today. If you have legal problems and need answers, call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first at 215-227-2727 for personal injury, medical malpractice, birth injury, and more. Call Dean first.
He will fight for your rights. That's what Dean Weitzman is all about.
Call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first. 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. For 20 years, Center City Medical Center has provided premium expert medical services for Philadelphia. Whether you need musculoskeletal rehab or an immigration physical, call 888-945-EXAM. Our board-certified physicians have more than 80 years' experience from post-injury rehab to DNA paternity testing. To make an appointment at one of our three convenient locations, call 888-945-EXAM. Get premium expert care. Center City Medical Center, serving Northeast, North, and Center City, Philadelphia. If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
The following is a paid program brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. The views and opinions expressed are those of the sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station and its management.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome back. It's Court Radio and I'm Dean Weitzman. It is February the 8th. Sunday at 7:27, and it's kind of nice outside today, folks. On my way over here, I wasn't freezing to death. Should be a nice day. You know, it's already February. We're probably halfway through the winter, and I can almost envision spring coming. I'm joined today with my co-host, Irina Shiloh from My Philly Lawyer. Welcome back, Irina.
Thank you, Dean.
Irina works for the firm and is stationed in our Northeast office up way, way up on Bustleton Avenue, where she does mainly domestic relations. Although we have a complement of staff up there, they're doing personal injury and other matters. But Irina focuses on domestic relations. That's where she meets the clients, though she can meet in the Philadelphia Center City office if you need to. How do people get in touch with you, Irina?
They call the office.
Yep.
And I get the call.
There you go. Even though she's up in Bustleton, all you got to do is call the main number, 215-227-2727. You ask for Irina, and you'll be patched right in. We're talking today in anticipation of Valentine's Day, kind of a tongue-in-cheek. We're talking about prenup agreements, prenuptial agreements, agreements that anticipate the end of a marriage and provide for spouses after the marriage is over. Can you completely, in a prenuptial agreement, give your spouse Zippo?
You can. It's absolutely permitted. You can do that. The problem is that in an extreme situation, let's take two extremes, two opposite extremes. If you marry someone and you live with them for 20 years, they've raised, you agreed that they would raise the children, you would work, they would not work, and they get nothing in case of divorce. A court could say, well, this is not fair. This is so unreasonable that we can't allow this to happen, that you were, let's say, a famous neurosurgeon or plastic surgeon, and you made all these millions, and you agreed that your spouse would sit at home with your four children and raise them and take care of the house, and now you decided to divorce her and she gets absolutely nothing. That's not fair. So your agreement could be voided completely in that case, which is not what you want to happen if you are becoming a famous plastic surgeon, right?
Right.
The other extreme would be that you say they get nothing in case of divorce. You get divorced after 2 years and they sue you and they say this is not reasonable, this is not fair. The court would say, well, you know, you were both in advanced ages. You only were married for a couple of years. You didn't have kids. There's really no change in the circumstances. So in that case, it would be perfectly acceptable, probably. They are favored by courts. Courts do want to give
effect,
validity.
Yeah. So if you've got a prenup, chances are the court's going to enforce the document as it's written, provided, I guess, that everybody had a chance to have it seen and reviewed by an attorney, I would presume.
Yes, you have to have an attorney.
Both
have to have an attorney.
So none of this, like, you're about to walk down the aisle and you slide a document in front of your spouse and say, you got to sign this. And you had it prepared by your attorney. You hand it to your spouse and you're about to walk down the aisle. Is that a valid agreement?
Well, the statute doesn't say anything about do you have to have an attorney and how long does it have to be before the wedding. But basically, courts have decided that if both parties are represented by different attorneys and if they had enough time to review, for example, 3 months before the wedding, everybody had their own attorney of their own choosing and they weren't drunk or stoned when they signed the agreement, that agreement would be valid.
Which is frequently how people get married, drunk or stoned, yes. So, but here's the deal. There's a principle in the law called duress. So, you know, if you were to give your intended a document literally on the steps of the church, then they could make the argument that they were under duress when they signed that contract. And so I think it behooves everybody, as you say, to have an appropriate amount of time to consider it. And I would even say it should really coincide with maybe either shortly before or shortly after you ask the person to marry you.
When you ask is up to you. But yeah, it's true that you shouldn't be asking on the steps of the church. But, of course, I've said that that's not duress when usually women have tried to say, well, he wasn't going to marry me and I really wanted to marry him. That's not duress. It's still a choice.
Right. Clearly, if that's the argument and it was done months before, I don't think that argument carries much weight. If your entire family is there, you've paid to have this wedding, and everybody's, in essence, sitting in the pews waiting for you to march down the aisle, I think maybe then it may carry more weight that his threat not to marry in those circumstances would arise to a level of duress.
Possible.
Possible, she says. All right, I got a possible out of her. That's fine. I'm happy with a possible. How about if we take Nina on line one from Germantown? Hi, Nina. Welcome to Court Radio.
Yes. Hi. How are you?
I'm wonderful. And you?
Okay. I just had a couple of questions. My grandmother died 104 in 2012.
God bless her.
Yes. She had a lady that was a friend who forged the will. She actually typed it out. And she took her house and everything, and she reported to the city hall that my grandmother only had that house, which her estate was only worth $25,000. But I happened to get my grandmother's bank account. She didn't enter her $65,000 into her estate. My question was, is that fraud? Is she allowed to conceal the $65,000 and not put it in the estate?
Okay. Well, no, the answer is a definite no. When I will presume, there's certain facts you didn't tell me, but I will presume that she was a beneficiary of your grandmom's estate and also the executrix of her estate.
Yes, what she did.
Okay.
What she did was she forged the will, and she made herself the executrix, the power of attorney, the beneficiary, and her and her husband was the only witness that signed it.
Okay, well, that sounds like a will that could be easily contested. You really can't be the witness and the executrix,
right,
and the beneficiary,
yeah,
of the same document. And so that sounds like it's a will that could be easily contested. Secondly, yes, you have to, as the executrix of a will or executor, you have to inventory and account for the decedent's entire estate. Why?
Yeah.
Because the government, yeah, gets a tax on everything that flows,
yeah,
out of that estate, and they want to know all the money they have. So, yes, that would definitely not be acceptable either. But in order to make that all happen, Nina, you would have to retain, in all likelihood, retain an attorney and have that attorney file a document called an accounting, requesting that the executrix provide an accounting to the court, and it can, and you could also use that process to contest the will. However, that's the type of interaction with an attorney that no doubt you'd have to pay legal fees to have happen, and they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't be able to do it on a percentage of the potential recovery that you may or may not get. So it wouldn't be a contingent fee case. It would be by the hour.
Okay.
So by all means, if that's something that you really feel strongly about and think that you're, you know, entitled to a recovery, if the will is set aside, okay,
yeah,
who else besides you is left?
Well, I'm her granddaughter. My mother is 90 years old, and she was ill at the time. So she gave me the power of attorney, and she wrote out the documents for me to work in her stead to handle everything. And that's when I didn't know that she popped up with this typed up will.
Right, right.
You know, but she had already went down.
Who besides Nina? Who besides you? Are there other children of your mother? You know, is there other siblings of your children of your grandmother besides your mom?
No, just my mother.
And are you the only child of your mother?
No, okay. I'm the only one she gave the papers to as the power of attorney and to handle all that needs to be handled concerning that.
I understand, but if you set aside that will, the what you call the fake or fraudulent will, if you set that aside, it's gone.
Yes.
It's gone.
Yes.
Now grandmom's money gets passed by intestacy. That means that all of her grandchildren, all of the grandchildren would take equal amounts. Did your mom pass yet?
No, she's still alive.
So everything would, and is your, you said your mom was the only child of your grandmother alive, correct?
Yes, the only child.
So she would get all of it. So everything would go to your mom, and yes, you could represent your mom with a power of attorney from her. And yes, you could do this, but you're going to have to retain counsel and pay by the hour.
Okay. One question was that is there a statute of limitation on that?
There isn't, but as a practical matter, if the fraudster is if she's using the assets up, then time is of the essence, because if you wait too long, there won't be anything left for you to get.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Nina from
Thank
Germantown,
you so much.
Take care, dear, and have a great Sunday. 215-227-2727. I got somebody who said they can stump me, Irina. From last week, we got Kim on the line. She's been waiting for a week. Wow, you've been very patient, Kim.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
David and Dean, how are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. David actually isn't here today, Kim. He took the day off. I'm joined by with Irina Shiloh from my office, who does all the domestic relations. Do you need to get divorced or anything, Kim?
No.
Okay.
I got a question for you,
okay.
And I have to bring back your attention.
Yes.
I believe, now tell me what say thee.
What
I believe
say
I stopped
thee?
You a couple shows ago when I asked the question about what is dark money. Remember that question?
I don't. I have no memory of it. I you'll have to go back.
I asked that question, and so, neither you or Dave, you had Ken, the guy who was running for mayor.
He's no longer running for mayor.
Yes, that one.
Yeah.
He was at the interview, and he took on the question.
You didn't call Court Radio. You were at my office, actually.
You're pulling my third leg.
Okay. Well, I certainly don't want to pull
too.
Your third leg. But here we go, Kim. You got a question. I got an answer. Give it your best shot.
Yeah, okay. My question to you is, recently I was at a sheriff's sale. I mean, very recently. I was shocked. And I need you to tell me, how ethical is it for the law firm representing the mortgager to buy the property at the end and, you know, outbid all the little people that try to, you know, bid on the property? And I'm noticing, like, maybe 90% of the property was bought by the law firm representing the mortgagor.
I
want to know, is that normal and why? How can that be done?
Yeah, I would say that the mortgagor can purchase the property back. If the mortgagor is the high bidder, he gets the property. The money then gets split up amongst everybody else who he owes on the property. However, the law firm isn't buying it for themselves, because that truly would be a conflict of interest. I think that they're the agent for the mortgagor. That's my belief, that they're merely acting as the agent of the mortgagor, purchasing the property on his or her behalf.
Huh? I'm just so lost. Can you repeat that one more time, like I'm a 4-year-old?
I love Kim. Kim, I would, but we're running out of time. But, you know, you bring up a great point. Every single...
Oh, by the way,
every
you
single...
do owe me lunch for the other question. I'm sorry, but we're going to have to pull the tape on the other show.
Yeah, well, you're going to have to pull the tape. You are able to get our podcast, because Larry makes sure all of our shows are podcasted. So you don't need to rely on my memory or yours. You go back to the podcast, you find the old show, you cut and paste that clip, and if you're right, I'll buy you two lunches. But in the meantime, you're going to have to be satisfied with a T-shirt, Kim. Hold on the line, and Monica's going to grab your address, and we're going to get you a Court Radio T-shirt. Thanks for listening and being a good sport.
That question. I really got to get a better feeling for what you meant.
Okay.
Thanks.
Well, give us a call during the week.
Love you.
She loves us. That's what she was saying, and I love her. 215-227-2727. I got calls. I got callers. 215-227-2727. Irina. So, a prenuptial agreement can completely leave nothing to the spouse, either spouse upon a divorce. Can it also structure a payment for them?
It can. You can put whatever you want in your agreement.
Okay. And now you said both parties should be represented by different attorneys, have the documents reviewed before signing.
Yes.
What do people need to bring to you? What do they need to think about when they're planning to meet with you to prepare a prenuptial agreement?
Well, that depends on the people, and it can be very complex. It depends on who they are, how much money they're making, how much money they plan to make or they're hoping to make. It depends on what they want and how they want to structure the the divorce, the future divorce or potential divorce settlement. Do they want alimony for their spouse? Do they want alimony for themselves? Do they want to just split the assets in half? It really depends on the people. Do they want to preserve their separate assets? Do they want to protect their children, new children, former relationships, children? It really depends. And people can put anything from, if you cheat on me, you get nothing, to if we have six children, you get $100,000 for every child. You can put whatever you want, except for custody and child support arrangements.
Okay, so you can't make arrangements that affect the children of the marriage.
Right.
And that's because you can't negotiate on behalf of a third party.
Correct.
Okay, so the children are the children. Their support is theirs. It's not the obligation of the payor. Well, it is the obligation of the payor, but it isn't the in this instance, it's not mom who has a right to child support. It's the child who has a right to child support.
Right, and the standard is the best interest of the child in custody cases. So you can't say, if I die, I want my spouse to have full custody. Maybe something will happen to your spouse and she or he won't be capable of caring for the children. So then the court will decide. You can agree, and it's valid until somebody contests it.
There you go. You can agree to anything. It's valid until somebody contests it. 215-227-2727. Let's talk to Elaine from West Oak Lane. Hi, Elaine. Welcome to Court Radio.
Hi, Dean. Good morning.
Good morning to you. So what's your question for us this morning?
Yeah, I just have a question. My sister passed in 2012. She had three living children. One of them was missing, okay, for a long time. She didn't know where he was, okay. At her passing, we found him. My question is, he was not in her will, I don't think. But the two that was living that she knew of, they split the will, and the third child, which was presumed lost, didn't get anything. Do he have a case or what?
No, probably not. And the reason is you can disinherit a child. You can't disinherit a spouse in Pennsylvania, which is why I tell people who have been separated for 20 years, maybe you should actually formalize that separation into a divorce. Oh, but I don't want to spend the money, they say. I said, well, yeah, but, if you passed tomorrow and your long-lost spouse made a claim for the estate, there's a chance, a decent chance, that he or she would get a third of your estate, whether you disinherited them in a will, whether you hadn't been together for a long time or not. And so you're actually giving something to somebody you don't even love, you don't even like, maybe. But
this was her son.
But see, that's the but. The but is, but for children, you can disinherit children. And so
he didn't disinherit them. She didn't know where he was.
But if you provide for a will and you say, I'm leaving my estate to child A and child B, and you make no mention of child C, then I think in essence, whether intended or not, you have disinherited child C. And so if there was a will that specifically provided for her two children and didn't mention the third child, I think by the very nature of that document, child number three is disinherited. Now,
oh my, but you told two in the event that he's found, do the right thing.
Well, see, that's the kind of clause that should be in the will, not something that's mentioned after.
Might have been. We don't know.
Well, okay. If it's in the will, it's in the will. I mean, you can see the will if you wanted to. It's got to be filed in City Hall when they raise the estate.
Okay.
So go ahead.
He can do that, right?
Yeah, he can do that. And okay. Or he could contest the will. I mean, that's another option. How much are we talking about here? Like, what's this estate comprised of?
You're talking about a good amount.
Okay. So
four or five hundred
thousand. Okay. Well, he can decide that he wants to retain an attorney to investigate this potential claim. And again, as I said to an earlier caller, this kind of estate litigation is primarily a by-the-hour sort of representation. So no attorney is going to say, hey, if in the chance that we get a recovery for you, we'll take X amount of percent. They're going to say, hey, we'll be happy to represent you. You have to come in and sign a retainer agreement, pay us a fee, and then we'll begin the process of investigating this, which may be a will contest, an accounting, maybe merely sending a letter to the attorney representing the estate asking for a copy of the will document so that they can satisfy themselves that the child has no interest in that estate.
Okay.
But, it is the type of thing that kind of time is of the essence, because, as I said earlier, because, shortly after the death of the decedent, the property is beginning to be dispersed amongst the beneficiaries under the will. And if you wait too long, there's nothing left to fight about.
Okay.
All right, Elaine. Elaine.
The executor of her will telling his brother, his found brother, that there is no inheritance.
Yeah, well, that executor is going to have to file an accounting with the court and prove that, and especially do so if the found sibling or child contests it and demands to have that done.
Okay.
As her child, he can do that. He has standing to do that. Because he would be a beneficiary under the will if the will weren't valid. And there's many reasons why a will might not be valid. And if the will gets set aside, then he's entitled to a third of the estate.
Mm-hmm.
All right, mm-hmm. Elaine, thanks for listening to Court Radio, dear. Have a great Sunday.
Thank you so much.
215-227-2727. Irina, we've taken a lot of calls about estate matters. I want to know, how does estates and prenuptials kind of fit together?
They do. You can actually put something that looks like a will in your prenuptial or postnuptial agreement. You can say in your prenuptial, you can agree with your spouse that in case of your death, this is how much they're getting. And then if you change your will, the prenuptial will control. It will be the more important document because contracts are above wills.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. So anybody can change a will 27 times, and I've had clients who have done it. I don't like the way he treated me this week. He's out of the will, and they go in and out and in and out. But if you have a prenuptial agreement that predates the will, that's going to take precedence over everything.
Right. Just like your debts, you have to pay them from your estate because those are contracts that you made while you were alive. So you can't say, oh, I don't care about my debtors. I'm just going to leave everything to my wife.
Right. So the prenuptial agreement survives death. 215-227-2727. We're talking prenups on the eve of St. Valentine's Day. We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
It's a legal and financial squeeze. You're unable to work because of an accident, but your legal case is still not settled, so you can't pay the bills to take care of your family. But now, thanks to U.S. Claims, you can. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 1-877-US-CLAIMS. While you're waiting for your settlement, U.S. Claims can help you pay the bills. Get out of the squeeze. Call 1-877-US-CLAIMS today. If you have legal problems and need answers, call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first at 215-227-2727 for personal injury, medical malpractice, birth injury, and more. Call Dean first.
He will fight for your rights. That's what Dean Weitzman is all about.
Call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first. 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer. When winning matters most. For 20 years, Center City Medical Center has provided premium expert medical services for Philadelphia. Whether you need musculoskeletal rehab or an immigration physical, call 888-945-EXAM. Our board-certified physicians have more than 80 years' experience from post-injury rehab to DNA paternity testing. To make an appointment at one of our three convenient locations, call 888-945-EXAM. Get premium expert care. Center City Medical Center, serving Northeast, North, and Center City, Philadelphia. If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
The following is a paid program brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. The views and opinions expressed are those of the sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station and its management.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Welcome back. It's still Sunday, February 8th, and I'm Dean Weitzman, and this is Court Radio, 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, the place all Philadelphia needs to go for legal issues. And I'm joined with Irina Shiloh today to do a prenup show for St. Valentine's Day. We've been talking prenups and how important it is if you've got assets, especially. It's a late-in-life marriage. You got children from previous marriages. I mean, it's good to think about all the time because half the marriages end in divorce. But in those circumstances, there are certain circumstances that scream out for a prenup. And Irina's been talking about that. We got Sharon from West Philly on the line only because I haven't had somebody from West Philly call at least in one day. Hey, Sharon, how are you? And welcome to Court Radio.
Hi, Dean.
Hi, Sharon.
My question is, I have a house and assets in it. My question is, would my ex-husband of 15 years be entitled to any of it?
Okay, is he, are you divorced from him? Is he gone? Good riddance to bad juice?
We're divorced.
Okay.
And his name has never been on the property.
Okay, if you're divorced, then he can't get anything at this point. If you're officially divorced.
He's out. Done. Finito. You're free and clear. Can't get anything. Now, if mom had died, your mom had died and left you the property before the divorce, that poses the question as to whether somebody's entitled to inherited property. And the answer, according to Irina, is
to inherit her property?
Yeah, no. If somebody receives inherited property, would their current spouse be entitled to it?
Oh, their current spouse would not be entitled to it. It's a separate asset. It's not a joint asset unless the value of it increases.
Always, yeah, she's always going to give you that caveat, that increased value caveat. But the truth is that if you're married and you get a property, you inherit a property from your family, your spouse, even if he's your current spouse, he gets nothing from inherited property.
He's not my current.
Okay, so he's twice removed. He really gets nothing. You don't even need to mention his name again. He's out of your life. He is out of your life, right? You haven't been.
Right.
You didn't get back together with him or anything, did you?
No.
Okay, you wouldn't do that, would you?
No.
Okay. All right. So then I would say you're safe, relax, and enjoy your inheritance.
Okay. So I don't have to worry about him.
Not at all. Now, there might be somebody else in your life you have to worry about, but not the ex. Thanks for calling Court Radio. Okay. Have a great Sunday.
Can I have a T-shirt?
You most definitely can. Stay on the line. I'm going to have Monica get your address, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
They love the T-shirts. Irina Shiloh, thank you for being a part of Court Radio today.
Thank you, Dean. It's always a pleasure.
Folks, if you want to reach Irina, you give us a call, 215-227-2727. If you've got domestic relations issues, the woman to go to today and always is Irina Shiloh. Thanks for being here, and have a great Sunday, folks. See you next week.
The preceding was a paid program of MyPhillyLawyer.com.